Welcome, this is Kathleen Pearl. This is Heart of the Matter, second part. I felt the Holy Spirit telling me that this was going to be a series after I finished the first one. So, Father, we come before you and we thank you and praise you that you are the God of the living Word, the Word made flesh, the Word fulfilled throughout all eternity. Please come by the blood of Yeshua and the anointing of the Holy Spirit and breathe life and direct the opening, the breaking open of the scroll, the breaking open of manna from heaven, and the instruction by the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you and praise you for your revelation and unveiling. In Yeshua's name we pray, amen. I want to start with Revelation chapter 2 at verse 8. Regarding the church in Thyatira, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants, to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I want to make a comment on this, just as the Lord's given it to me, that God is establishing the Son of God. He says he is the Jesus here who has eyes like a flame of fire that pierces and burns and goes right into the very DNA structure of every living atom. In fact, it's the subatomic particles. He has feet like fine brass. That means he walks in judgment. He is walking in judgment. Now, he recognizes, and this is mainly for the church in the west coast of the United States, although it is applicable in a lot of other places in Europe. But one of the heights of this woman, Jezebel, is really in the state of California, and her influence on the nations. There is a huge spirit. It is operating in Minerva is on the state of California seal. And this is a ruling spirit. The Lord is saying now to the church there, I know your works. He sees everything, the love, service, faith, and patience, and that your works are increasing, they're greater. But I have this against you, and this is a huge issue. You allow that woman, Jezebel. Now, Jezebel can be a woman, but it is the spirit behind the woman. It is not necessarily a woman. And we must be careful. There have been many teachings from the prophetic circles that have mistaught on this subject of who Jezebel is, and much misapplication. Let us look strictly at the Word of God says here, what points this woman out as having this spirit operating behind her. She calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servant to commit sexual immorality. So behind her teaching, her governing role is the spirit of sexual immorality. Sexual immorality, it says in Corinthians, That is the sin that defiles the flesh, because you become one with that person. Your spirits become one. Okay? And that will cause a huge judgment to come upon you, because you become defiled. Why? The next part. And eat things sacrificed to idols. Eat things sacrificed to idols is giving tribute and worship to those who are idolatrous, who are not worshiping God. So when you join yourself to others who are not worshiping and keeping holy covenant, they're fornicators or adulterers, then you bring a judgment. And the judgment is, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. Because she is the apex of what God sees as covenant breaking and treachery, according to him, with his people. When they go into idolatry, it is the same as being an adulteress. And so this woman is the summation that this spirit is to bring a judgment upon God's people. But he will judge her. He will judge her. Now, the people who operate in this, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the hearts, minds and hearts. Now, this particular woman has high places politically, and she causes the worship of either self in the hedonism out here in the West, but it leads to abortion. The sexual immorality, you can just get abortion. You can just eliminate your lust and have nothing to do with it. Oh, and by the way, some of our husbands have been physicians who have made great financial gain off of being abortion doctors. And these women are operating in this spirit. And it is a spirit of convenience for self-exaltation, that I am a queen and no one rules me. That is what's behind this. God, I am not subordinate to the Lord. I am not surrendered to his government and the discipline of my flesh, nor my ideas. But God will deal with this spirit and those who operate in it, and the churches will know that he is God who searches the minds and the hearts, and they will be given according to their works. This is a serious issue, and this has behind it prophecy. Okay, let's talk about the prophetic. Those who say they speak for God, those who say that they are prophets, it can operate in the prophet. It is not gender specific. And these prophetic prophetess prophets people will teach seducing doctrines of devils and demons that will lead God's people into idolatry and away from worshiping him and him alone. That they will have lust. They worship their lust or the pride of life or the desires of life, materialism. These things that are adulterers, the seduction in the garden where they are lawless, they are not subordinated and submitted to the counsel of God. God is going to deal with these people. Their children will die. Now to you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put you. Now what the depths of Satan? Who are those? What doctrine is this? The depths of Satan. Oh, well, this is very large occult spirits that operate in high-level satanic Luciferian agendas and political internationally operate in the hidden places. They operate behind the scenes, making covenants and contracts that cause the nations to stumble and err and be seduced from the living God who owns the title deed to the earth, who took it away from Satan. When he opened the seven seals, he took the scroll. When he died on the cross, he is in the process of redeeming all of those who God has given to him as children. That's why he will search the minds and hearts of those in the church, and he will test us in order to see where our allegiance, where our loyalty, our fidelity, where our worship is. But hold fast. He says, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. In other words, continue in love, service, works, and patience. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. And this is important because this particular spirit that operates out of this area of California on the West Coast has a hidden operation to the nations to cause them to be seduced and deceived, even as much as abortions are being funded now to other nations out of this nation to cater to sexual immorality and the unbridled lust of the flesh. But those who overcome this, you will get power over the nations, and you shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So here it says, if you hold fast to this, if you do not be seduced by this, if you do not give into this, if you continue in what God has given you, then the Lord, who is seated at the right hand of the Father and ruling over the nations, you have come under his government, and you rule and reign with him in the spiritual realm. Praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. All right. Now, the Lord gave me then, in Jeremiah 14, this is the word of the Lord now. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning the droughts. Now, we've had a drought in California in the West. And I don't know if there are droughts in the Midwest of the United States, but I do recognize also that there are droughts in Israel. So there is application. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah concerning the droughts. Judah mourns, and her gates languish. They mourn for the land, and the cry for Jerusalem has gone up. Their nobles have sent their lads for water. They went to the cisterns and found no water. They returned with their vessels empty. They were ashamed and confounded and covered their heads. Because the ground is parched, for there was no rain in the land, the plowmen were ashamed and they covered their heads. Yes, the deer also gave birth in the field, but left because there was no grass. And the wild donkeys stood in the desolate heights. They sniffed at the wind like jackals. Their eyes failed because there was no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your name's sake. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you, O the hope of Israel, his Savior in time of trouble. Why should you be like a stranger in the land and like a traveler who turns aside to tarry for a night? Why should you be like a man astonished, like a mighty one who cannot save? Yet you, O Lord, are in our midst, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. So I'm going to address this part, and then we'll go into the next part. This is the lament that Jeremiah came to the Lord and said, Lord, the land is languishing. There's no water. There's no rain. We can't sow the seeds, and the deer give birth and leave their young there because there's no water. There's nothing to eat, and there's desolation. There is no grass because of our iniquities. The drought has come, and the iniquities and the backslidings are many of that nation. Okay, so here, the prophet is clearly saying that it's because of the sins and the iniquities of the people that have turned their back against the Lord, that drought and famine are beginning to happen. Oh, and then he says, Lord, he's appealing to the Lord. Save us, Lord. You know, you're our God. And we call on your name. Don't let us forsake us. And please, you know, it's a cry really for repentance from Jeremiah. And he's sort of doing identificational repentance, as we call it today. He's trying to stand in the gap and look for someone who would cry out like Moses when the children of Israel went into idolatry. Moses stood in the gap and said, oh, don't destroy them because of your namesake. And yet, verse 11 is the Lord's reply to Jeremiah concerning this. Then the Lord said to me, do not pray for this people for their good. Woo! When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and grain offering, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. And then I said, O Lord God, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword, nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I have not sent them, commanded them, nor spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false vision, divination, a worthless thing, and the deceit of their heart. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who prophesy in my name, whom I did not send, and who say sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem because of the famine and the sword. They will have no one to bury them, nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters. For I will pour their wickedness on them. And therefore you shall say this word to them, let my eyes flow with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people has been broken with a mighty stroke and with a very severe blow. If I go out to the field, then behold those slain with a sword. And if I enter the city, then behold those sick from famine. Yes, both prophet and priest go about in a land they did not know. Have you utterly rejected Judah? Has your soul loathed Zion? Why have you stricken us so that there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, but there was no good, and for the time of healing, and there was trouble. We acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Do not abhor us for your name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember, do not break your covenant with us. Are there any among the idols of the nations that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Are you not he, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait for you, since you have made all of these. And now here, the Lord commanded him not to pray for the people and not to pray for their good. And because he said, it's the judgment God has already decided, and he sees the future and he knows the hearts. And when they fast, they will not cry. He won't hear them, and he won't accept their offerings. But they're going to be consumed by the sword, famine, and pestilence. And we've had all these fasting movements and prayer and outward shows, you know, of repentance and trying to turn this country or the hearts of the leaders back to God. And God hasn't heard. He hasn't heard. He doesn't hear Jeremiah's prayer. He's not going to do this. He will not listen. He has, because God says he's against them. He's against the prophets who have prophesied, oh, you're not going to have sword famine, but I'm going to give you peace. And this is the indictment that he has. The indictment is against the prophets. The indictment is against the prophets who have prophesied lies and false visions and divination and worthless things and the deceitfulness of their own heart and their own agendas and their own ambitions and their own desires for big offerings and staged platforms. And the Lord said, those prophets who prophesy in his name out of their own hearts, whom he did not send. If you're a prophet of God, you have to be sent. You cannot just accept an invitation. If you're an apostle, you have to be sent by God. Just because someone invites you does not mean that you can go. You cannot have your agenda and your calendar filled up for years in advance. You are not, you may be if you're a teacher or pastor or evangelist, but if you're a prophet or an apostle, you are the Lord's servant. It should be so with the others, also a pastor, teacher, or evangelist. You must be sent by the Lord or you go in your own flesh. If you are not sent of the Lord, then you are not God's servant. If you are beckoned by man, then you serve the people and give them what they want. And those who prophesied in my name, whom I did not send, and say, sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets will be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Yerushalayim because of the famine and the sword, and they will have no one to bury them, dead bodies everywhere. Them, nor their wives, their sons, nor their daughters, for I will pour their wickedness on them. It's their own wickedness. It's their own cup of iniquity. You will reap what you sow. Therefore, you shall say this word to them. You better cry and weep tears day and night, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people has been broken with a mighty stroke, with a severe blow. So God is the one that allows it. He breaks them. He says, I'm not going to hear the restraint anymore. The judgment is coming. And if you go out in the fields, behold those slain with the swords in the city, then behold those sick from famine, the sword, famine, and pestilence. Yes, both prophet and priest go about in a land they do not know. And so where are their prophecies now? Where are their prosperity prophets now? Where are these prophets that said God is going to do this and that and twisted the word of the Lord? Have you utterly rejected Judah? Has your soul Lord Zion? Who's giving these people a platform? Where are these prophets and priests when this happens? Are they repenting? They say, oops, I missed it. I prophesied out of my flesh. We looked for peace, that there was no good, and a time of healing, and there was trouble. Why? Because we acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness. It's not that the prophet knows what's going on. The prophet's prayers aren't going to avail anything. Now the people, the priests and the prophets who've been in error and have sinned and transgressed must confess their faults. They must confess their iniquities and their transgressions, who've pumped up people who've been in idolatry and immorality and drunkenness and fleecing the flock, and they platformed and said it's a move of God, and God did not send them, and they endorsed them, and these leaders laid hands on them, and there has been no repentance from them. They are disqualified as leaders. They can't even recognize the true servant of God. The people have to acknowledge the wickedness, because they've sat under these priests and prophets who were profane and who are not sent of God. And the iniquity of our fathers, for they have sinned against God. The people have sinned against God because of the leaders. Do not abhor us for your name's sake. Do not disgrace the throne of your glory. Remember, do not break your covenant with us. Why? Because God's a covenant-keeping God, even though we break covenant, because we are sinful and wicked. Are there any among the idols of the nation that can cause rain? Oh, is there a turning? Here is the rhetorical question that Jeremiah is asking. Or can the heavens give showers? No, there's no idols that can cause rain. There's no heavens that can give showers. Are you not He, O Lord, our God? He's the one. It's a rhetorical. Come, you're Lord. You're the one. He's attributing to God the sovereign jurisdiction over all the elements of nature. Therefore, we will wait for you, since you have made all these. This is his statement of affirmation that God is Lord, no matter what circumstances, and he is going to wait on God, even though they have turned away from him, and even though disaster has come upon them because of their own sinfulness and backsliding, yet God is still God. And for his namesake and his glory and his covenant that he established and initiated, because we are the created ones, we are fallen and in darkness, he had to reach to us. He had to come and bring the light and bring the revelation and show us the way out of our pit and our fallen state. And so we still wait on his sovereign dealings with us as the disciplines of the Lord through his judgments come down. Now let's go back to the people, to those who rule over them behind this Jezebel spirit, Isabel. In Jeremiah 22:3, we're addressing these. Woe to him who builds his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by injustice, who uses his neighbor's service without wages and gives him nothing for his work, who says, I will build myself a wide house with spacious chambers and cut out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Shall you reign because you enclose yourself in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and the needy, then it was well. Was not this knowing me, says the Lord? Yet your eyes and your heart are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood and practicing oppression and violence. Here we are. Here we are again. We're here. Who you're building houses by unrighteousness and chambers by injustice. What kind of people are these? What does it say in Isaiah? These injustice, those who do not practice judges, where the judges in the land say, white is black and good is evil and male is female. And they have perverted the law and the truth. Why? So they could extend the borders of their property and add fences and lands to them on the oppression of and unrighteous judgments. Chambers of injustice in the house of the judges and the judicial system, who uses his neighbor's service without wages. You're exploiting people and give them nothing for their work. You ride on your houses. You ride on volunteerism. Here, a volunteer for my ministry, cater to me so you can build my house, my ministry house. I can live in a $25 million house and have eight luxury cars, or a multi-million dollar house and drive around in my Bentley and my Rolls Royce and drive up in my Cadillac to the ministry session because I'm the king of the ministry. And then you manipulate people out of their money. You fleece them and you cut out windows for your house and paint it with cedar and vermilion. Paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion? Shall you reign because you enclose yourself in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Didn't you have a godly heritage and then it was well with your father? He judged the cause of the poor and the needy and then it was well. Was not this knowing me, says the Lord? Where are the righteous judges in the land? There are none. Yet your eyes and your hearts are for nothing but your covetousness, for shedding innocent blood, for overturning and promoting abortion and practicing oppression and violence and sending it to the nations. And all of this, and you expect God to hear you? And you expect God not to send a judgment, not to lift up, not to say that you have broken covenant and now my discipline is upon you? Is not this a God who keeps his word? Said if it was, it would be well with you and I would have prospered you if you would have obeyed my commandments. But because you have broken them, you have brought curses of disobedience upon your heads and upon the houses and upon the doors and the gates of this nation. It has broken the silver and the gold and shaken it down. And why? So the desire of all nations can come. Because the way is being prepared. He will deal. They will be given over and over and over and over until they become their own destruction. Because that is their path. The path of oppression and violence is one of destruction. And the eternal wrath of God. There is no other option. It's written clearly. Whether you like it or not, that is the truth. Now let's go back to Revelation 2, where it says, God, the Son of God, whose eyes are a flame of fire and his feet like brass. In verse 20, that woman Jezebel, calls herself a prophetess to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols, to have high-level occult things in secret, and then to commit adultery and to bring forward laws out of that, of abortion and perversion, violence and oppression, and it will come back upon her head. God will kill her children with death, and God will show that he's going to search our hearts and minds. Now hold fast till he overcome. Hold fast and overcome and keep his works till the end, and you will have a power over the nations, a rod of iron. For the Lord, he is Lord. The Lord, he is Lord. And don't give in to the seduction and the persuasion of this prophetic ministries who said, oh, there's not going to be, it's just prosperity. Oh, just keep investing. Oh, just keep giving to my ministry. Just keep volunteering. Come here and build my house for me on your vacation. How about that one? Or come here and work for me for free. Hey, and why don't you pay, too? I want you to pay for your room and your food and your board, and then I want you to serve me. Oh, and by the way, I want you to sell my books and everything else. And I want volunteer, and I want you to run out, and I want you to get other leaders. I want you to bring them in and bring all their money and have them bring a lot of people. And then we can have our tourist at House of Prayer. Can we have our House of Prayer tourism ministry here, please? Oh, and we're going to call it a charity. But it's charity for us, you know. Hello? You don't think they have their reward? They have their reward. They sit with Jezebel behind them. And they have seduced God's people away from him through subtlety. And subtle manipulation and mind control. They've seduced God's people, the priest and the prophet, they profane, they have not been sent by the Lord. They have not gone, and they have not held the word of truth up. God will deal with them. Thank you, Father. You deal with us all. You test all of us, our minds and our hearts. You search us. And you give each one according to our works. And Father, lead us in the way everlasting. Let true repentance come. Let us turn away from our backslidings and seek you while you still may be found. Lord, have mercy by the blood of Jesus and the Ruach HaKodesh. We praise your holy name.